I'm lucky I'm a Yankees fan, so I'm wide awake, wide awake. Bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, all ready to go. Yes, not everybody is. Okay, so we decided that the next few weeks, or we'll see how long it takes us, we're going to talk about having a non-Jew in your house and the issues that come up with having a non-Jew in your house. This is an issue that certainly comes up a lot in 21st century America, 20th century America also, people have non-Jewish housekeepers, and it's fraught with all sorts of halachic dilemmas and halachic issues. So, Nu, what are the halachic issues? There's like six topics we could talk about.
You have to open the fire, she can never open the fire.
Okay, so there's bishalachim, let's see, broaden it. What about cooking of a non-Jew? A lot of times, you know, I teach in a high school, and sometimes, every once in a while, Rebbe will be talking something about bishalachim and about how the non-Jew is not allowed to cook for you. And every once in a while, most of the families know, and they're very observant, and they know the basic halachos. But there will be a kid who will say, "What are you talking about? My housekeeper cooks us dinner every single night. So how do we deal with that? Or what if she wants to cook her own food in our pots? Is that permissible?" So bishalachim, that's something that we're going to discuss. Yeah.
Keeping wine open.
People have, especially as Orthodox Jews' tastes in wine seems to improve, they say it improves. I don't think people can really tell the difference. There have been studies about this, that people can't really tell the difference. But people claim they can tell the difference. So as their tastes improve in terms of wine, so if you have wine that's not mevushal, and therefore is subject to various isurim related to wine, can you have the housekeeper come into your house, you have an open bottle of wine in your fridge, she cleaned out the fridge, ayvei, she picked up the wine bottle, she moved it around, she wiped up, so is that going to be a problem? That's issue number two. Yeah, what else? A Shabbos guy, certainly if she's around on Shabbos, or he, I guess, is around, if you have a man housekeeper, so if they're around on Shabbos, can you ask them to do malacha for you, or do you have to, are you stuck asking the kid? It's a joke. You're not supposed to ask the kid either to do malacha for you. So can you ask them to do malacha for you? If they do malacha for you, how do you react to them doing malacha? How many is that so far? Three topics? What else?
Yichud.
A very common issue, especially for guys your age, because you have Bein Hazmanim. You were off already before Rosh Hashanah for like a month, right? So you're home and your parents are working. They go to work. And it's you and the housekeeper, home alone. So what do you do? Sometimes you feel like a prisoner in your own home, or a prisoner from your home, like you can't be there. So what are you supposed to do? Or can you be there? What are the heterim? How can one navigate their way around the issue of yichud? Anything else? Yeah, is that four? What do we have? So we have bishalakum, we have the wine, we have yichud, and we have Shabbos. There's also another potential issue. I remember a number of years ago I was talking to Rabbi Shai Schechter, and he mentioned in passing that when his first child was born and he was asking his father about having a non-Jew work in the house, so Rabbi Schechter apparently had made a comment to him something along the lines of, sure, it's no problem you can have a non-Jew work in the house as long as you kasher your entire kitchen every time you come home. So what's that about? What was he referring to? So whether he was being literal or not literal, okay, we could discuss that also. But what was he even referring to? What's the topic over there? To kasher your entire kitchen every time you come home? Ah, so there are two things. First of all, leaving your kitchen unattended, leaving your kelim unattended, and who knows what was going on there while you weren't there. So is that a halachic concern? Is that a legitimate halachic concern? So I guess that would be issue number five. And then there's leaving your food unattended. Maybe she switched out your food for some other food, like you bought meat at a kosher supermarket, but she loves kosher meat, and she can replace it for a quarter of the price, a fraction of the price, with some non-kosher meat. So is it a problem to leave your food unattended? So those last couple of issues, I would say, are perhaps somewhat smaller issues than the other issues. But let's approach them. What do you guys want to do first? Which topic of those six? Yichud? Bishul? Yichud? Okay, we'll start with... I guess we'll or wine. Someone said wine. No. Okay. We'll start. Everyone wants to talk about the wine. All right. We'll start with the yichud. The yichud issue is a significant issue. In order to discuss the yichud issue intelligently, it's important to, whenever you discuss any halacha intelligently, first thing you need to figure out about this halacha is, what are we dealing with? What do I mean by what are we dealing with? Are we dealing with a din da'oraisa, a din d'rabbanan, a minhag? What is this exactly? So, what's yichud? Din da'oraisa, din d'rabbanan, minhag? What? So it depends what we mean by an isur yichud. The concept of yichud is da'oraisa. The Gemara in Kiddushin has a very cryptic way of describing what the isur of yichud is mida'oraisa. Remez li yichud min haTorah minayin. The Gemara says at the end of Kiddushin, where do we find a remez to yichud, which is a little bit of a funny way to describe a din da'oraisa, because remez normally means something that's not literally taken from the pasuk. And then the drasha that it gives to describe the isur of yichud is a very unusual drasha. The Gemara says, oh, you know how we know that there's an isur of yichud min haTorah? Because the pasuk says, ki yisischa chicha ben imecha, that one day you're going to have someone who's going to try to be maces you. What does maces mean? Have you heard that thing? You're in Sanhedrin, right? What?
Entice
you, yeah. To entice you to do avodah zara. To entice you to do yisur. Ki yisischa achicha, your brother, ben imecha, the son of your mother, is going to try to entice you to do all sorts of terrible things. So it talks about the halacha of a maces. You can't have any mercy. We throw the book at a maces. He's the worst kind of avarian. Someone who's not only chotei, he's machti other people, causes other people to sin. Terrible, terrible thing. Having absolutely nothing to do with a maces, though, the Gemara picks up on the fact that the Torah describes your brother, achicha, as ben imecha. Well, my brother happens to be both ben imecha and ben avicha. He happens to be both my mother's son and my father's son. So who's going to be maces you? It could be anyone on earth that could be maces you. That could be the one that entices you. But the Torah describes ben imecha, the son of your mother. So the Gemara says, oh, the Torah obviously was trying to juxtapose these two words, ben imecha, to tell you that if you isolate ben and aim, that's okay. You can isolate these two, ben and aim, a son and a mother. So they're allowed to have yichud, but you see from there that they're allowed to have yichud, but all other arayos in the Torah are not allowed to have yichud. That's the drasha midaraisa. So you mentally quickly go down the list of the Yud Gimel Midos, Shatar and Drash that you say every morning, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, how do I study Torah Shebichsav and derive dinim Da'oraisa from the Torah Shebichsav? And this doesn't seem, it's not a kalvachomer, it's not even one of the weird ones. It doesn't seem to fit any of the normal drashas, but that's the Gemara's drasha. A hekesh would be the, but it's not, because it's not really being makish to dinim. It's like a sipur dvarim b'yalma. The Torah is just telling a story. Who's going to be meisus you? The ben imecha. It's all describing the same person. So it's an unusual kind of drasha. It would almost entice you to say that it's really just an asmachta, it's not really a din d'oraisa. But there are other sugyas and shas that are explicit, that yichud is a din d'oraisa. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Vav, is absolutely explicit that yichud with arayos are d'oraisa. What are arayos? What does it mean, yichud with arayos? So what does that mean? Anyone what? So someone who is one of the Krovim should be Arayos, right? Meaning the mother, for one to sleep with his mother, that's Arayos. That's a very terrible listener. Or his sister, that's Arayos. And yet somehow, those Arayos, certainly the mother we allow Yichud with the sister we have much, much more lenient rules of Yichud with than with anybody else. But other Arayos, like for example, a married woman. A married woman is Arayos. That's one of the unique things about, you know, by Goyim we have a concept of marriage also. There's a concept of marriage also. There's a concept of a person being married. But by a Jew, there's a unique concept of marriage. That by a Jew, it's with Kedushas Yisrael, and we're able to make Kedushin, it creates arayos. It creates a whole new set of arayos. Not only someone else's wife, but your wife's sister, your wife's mother. So you have all these sorts of different arayos. Yichud with arayos, da'oraisa. That's da'oraisa. Yeah. That is not a rayos. That's what we'll get to in a second. Oh, so that's what you were referring to. Beis Dino Shel David, right? You said before the Beis Din of David. Beis Dino Shel David was gozer and yichud with the Pnuya, the Gemara Navel Dezara says. Why would David's Beis Din, of all the Batei Din that ever existed in the history of humankind, why would David HaMelech's Beis Din make a gezeira that a single girl can't have yichud? It's midaraisa, it's fine. She's single. She's not a rayas. Let's assume she's not a nidi either, just to make it very simple. So a single girl, regular girl, let's assume somehow she's tahora, she's not even a nida. So why would David's Beis Din be motivated to make that gezeira? What? Because David HaMelech had a very unfortunate circumstance in his own family, where Amnon and Tamar, here was a single girl who was a tznua and a wonderful person, and she had this terrible thing happen to him, where Amnon, David's son, raped David's daughter. And David says, well, cannot be trusted alone, yichud with a pnuya. They made a gezeira, can't even have yichud with a single girl. So a sister is a rayos, but we're more makel with a sister. It's a bigger.
I'm saying that Beis Din was talking specifically about.
Oh, because that happened to have been the sister.
Again, they were like half. Like
right, were, right. So okay, so let's assume that was not about a sister. He made a broader gezeira about yichud with a single person, and then there's a third level. The Gemara says, the Beis Din of Shammai and Hillel got together, and there goes a yichud with a guy, yichud with an Ovid Kochavim. And even with a non-Jew. So if you were living in between that time of David HaMelech and Shammai and Hillel, and you had a choice to either be locked in a room with a Jewish single girl or with a non-Jew, so the halacha would have been run to the non-Jew. You want to be locked up with the non-Jew. And think back to the even before that. Take another case. You have a next-door neighbor. Let's say you have a neighbor on two sides of you. One neighbor is a girl your age, and she's home alone, all alone. And the other neighbor is a married woman who's, I don't know, 40 years older than you, right? And you're living in a time in between when the Torah was given and when David HaMelech was gozer. And your mother says, we ran out of salt. I need you to go borrow some salt. And you're going to make conversation wherever you go. You're going to go, you'll close the door, you'll sit, you'll talk, you'll make conversation. So which house should you go to if you're living during that time? Which house should you go to have yichud with one of them? You should go to the one your age, ironically. The girl your age, it's no problem. She's a pnuya, she's single. But the yeshes ish, that's going to be a problem. I'll give you another example. You go to a family friend, mother and daughter. Father's not home, he's out of town, let's say. Just mother and daughter are home. The daughter's single, the mother's married. Who's the Isra of Yichud or worse Isra with? The fact that you're with the mother or the fact that you're with the daughter? So the mother would be Yichud Araisa. The daughter would be only Yichud Midraban. Okay. But what I'm trying to draw out of all this, in terms of the housekeeper, is that Yichud with a housekeeper is?
Drabanan.
Unless she's Jewish and married. I had a guy come to me 2 weeks ago and said, we hired a housekeeper, we were talking to her about all these things, and she said, yeah, I know, not only have I worked for Jews, my mother's Jewish. Now what do you do? So he's like, can I keep her around on Shabbos? She's going to be doing malacha left and right. Not for me, I'm never going to ask her to do malacha. Chas v'shalom, but she's going to, you know, she'll go to her room, she'll turn on the lights. Do I want that going on in my house? Like, you know, I have a Jewish woman doing malacha in the house? Not a very comfortable situation. She didn't work out anyway. Yeah, 2 weeks already she's gone. What?
What about adoption?
What about adoption? So that's beyond the housekeeper shayla. That's a significant shayla. The poskim discuss a lot about adoption. There's significant chiluke deos about that. There's a mitzvah to come up with a kula, obviously, because you need to function. That's what the poskim discuss about chibuk and nishuk. But you also have to be very careful when you talk about adoption. There are cases of adoption where a baby is adopted, and as far as this baby ever knew, these were his parents. And then you have cases where, let's say, not adoption, but let's say a couple gets divorced and one of them gets remarried. So the son is 18 years old, and now his father remarried and is married to his stepmom now, what he calls his stepmom. So to apply those same kulas that you're going to apply to adoption in that case is very, very different. This is not your mother. You were not raised with this woman as your mother. She's an Eshes Ish. She's your father's wife. So that might be a more significant problem. So, but we're getting a little too far afield. So, what are the kulas? What are the lenient considerations when it comes to yichud? Is yichud ever mutter? You just have to run the other way.
There's a chance someone will come in.
So the Gemara talks about two specific leniencies. It talks about Baila Be'ir, if it's a married woman and her husband's in town, so then there's an understanding that Emas Baila Aleha, that she has a certain trepidation and concern of her husband's presence, whether it's a concern that practically she's nervous that he's going to walk in the door, or whether it's just an understanding that a woman is going to be on her best behavior when she knows that her husband is around. That's an interesting discussion in Poskim. But the other one is, which is more relevant over here, is Pesach Pasuach L'Rosh HaSarabim. That if you have a door open to the Rosh HaSarabim. So what does that mean, that Pesach Pasuach L'Rosh HaSarabim? First of all, does it have to be Rosh HaSarabim, like in the Hilcha Shabbos sense of the word Rosh HaSarabim? So you don't have very many of those. So if you don't have if you happen to live in the suburbs, you happen to live in North Woodmere, and the street has, cars come down every couple of minutes maybe, but it's not Rosh HaSarabim, so it does not have to be Rosh HaSarabim as we would define it in Hilcha Shabbos. It would mean a place where it's reasonable that people come by all the time. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean an area, any public street is not necessarily Rosh HaSarabim. There are country roads where you could sit on the road for hours and no one will come. And they're dark, and whatever, so that might be an isur yichud, even though you're right out there on the road. But it's more of a practical thing. That someone's going to come in, yeah.
Dead end streets.
Dead end streets.
Like it's dead end.
Well, if there's traffic on the dead end street, meaning there's less traffic, right? Certainly less traffic. So this is it's an important discussion. The Gemara talks about. Another issue besides the Pesach Pasuach L'Rosh HaSarabim. So how would one accomplish? Let's deal with that first. How would one accomplish getting a Pesach Pasuach L'Rosh HaSarabim? Well, you leave the door open. What about leaving a window open? Is that called Pesach Pasuach L'Rosh HaSarabim? So Poskim generally, Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva that if someone could look into the house and see what's going on, Rav Moshe is making even if they can't see the details. They just know that there's movement in the house. They know that there's someone there. So the window's open, and people from the outside will know that there's someone around. That maybe that's enough to be a Pesach Pasuach L'Rosh HaSarabim.
Yeah? Just stand, like, to be in front of that window, or
So then the question becomes: yeah, it's very good as long as you sit in front of the window. But you're going to go somewhere else. Is it still a Pesach Pasuach L'Rosh HaSarabim? You're no longer in front of the window. So that's what Rav Moshe has a very unusual comment. It's very difficult to understand what he means. He says, but if people can get the impression, even if you're not in front of the window, but they realize that people are home. I don't know what that means. They see lights going on and off. I'm not sure what that means. I think the Pashut understanding would be that it's not okay, that if you're not in front of the window, as soon as you're not in front of the window, so you're in a yichud situation in that case. It's also a question in Poskim. It seems to me, because Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman, what if right now it's not yichud, but you're just one step removed from yichud? Any moment you could be in a yichud situation. Rav Moshe talks about you're driving in a car. So right now you're on a busy highway, and everyone can see. So Rav Moshe says, still it's a problem. Why? Because you could get off at the next exit. You're one step removed. And Rav Moshe's machmir about that. Also, very difficult shita to understand why that should be the case. Right now it's not an issue. You might have. I remember before I got married, I asked Rav Schechter many years ago about yichud in a car. And he said, my understanding is that if you're on a busy street, so then it's not an issue yichud. So I said, yeah, that was my understanding also. I saw Rav Moshe said not that way. So it was a very odd conversation. He said, oh, Rav Moshe said not that way, so you should be machmir like Rav Moshe. I was like, wait, so how does one date? You can't ever go on a date unless you have a chaperone in the car, right? How do you date? So he said, how did I date? I used to take walks. So I don't know, I didn't really answer the question. So I think the minhag olam is that people are lenient, that as long as you go on a busy street, not like Rav Moshe, that you could always turn off and be careful, don't turn off at an exit. Also, a person's busy driving. Yeah. Right. So does that help? So this is something that I always thought that was the best potential for heter. is that what is the definition of yichud? So the definition of yichud is man, woman, alone in a room, right? What if, let's say, you live in a, let's even before we go there, you live in an apartment building, and there are only 6 units in the whole building, and everyone that lives in the building is employed during the day; they're out the whole day. There's an old lady that lives across the hall from you, and there's you in your home, and she's home alone. She's an old almana; she's home alone, and you're home alone in your apartment. Are you violating yichud? So probably intuitively we would say no, right? Why? You're in separate apartments. You're not in a yichud situation. So how exactly do we define a yichud situation? Is it defined as the same room, the same dira, that you're living in the same home? So I always thought that maybe there would be room to argue that if you just avoid a yichud situation, where you're never actually in the same room for a sheer yichud, then maybe there would be something there. You lock a door and you're in a separate room, then maybe there would be something there. I found once in the Tshuvas of Rabbi Chaim Berlin that he wanted to be maker like that, but I didn't find it anywhere else. And everyone else that I spoke to was very, very much not happy with it. As of Shachter, he, you know, was not.
It's sort of man and the almana.
What?
No,
because that's a separate dira. You're in a separate apartment. So maybe that would be different. Meaning maybe that taki is not a yichud situation. The Gemara talks about a case where you have a man in the inner room and a woman in the outer room, and vice versa. So it's a fairly complicated sugya. The Chazanish writes that if a man is in the inner room and it only exits through a room where a woman is, so the Gemara says that that's usher. And even if there are 2 men in the inner room, because the only way the man's going to get out is by going to where the woman is, right? So the Gemara says that's usher. But if they're in separate rooms and you don't have to pass through the woman's room to get outside, you can get outside some other way. There's some back exit. So you're not going to have to pass through where the woman is in order to get outside. That it would not be an isser yichud. So Chaznish has a suffix about this and says, we don't have the koach to be machmir in such a case. So to me that sounded like if a guy locks himself in a room in his house, and the housekeeper is, let's say, in the basement doing the laundry, so you don't have to go to where she is in order to get out of the house. So I thought maybe that would be mutter. Rav Shach said, no, that means it's 2 separate reshuyos, where it's one apartment, the other apartment, just 2 separate rooms in the same house, and the door is locked to the outside, you know, you don't have anyone else coming into the house. He thought that would be a problem.
Yeah. The problem is you can get to her, not that she, like, if she locked her door, then there's not going to be a conflict, but if you lock your door, you can unlock it.
Right, I mean, you locking your door shouldn't help as much, because we assume that the man is the one that's going to initiate, usually. That's the general assumption. Yeah, maybe. So the best etza over here is to create a Pesach Pesuch Rosh Hashanah situation. How do you create that kind of situation? So you create that kind of situation by making it that someone could come in at any time. Either that it literally happens, that someone comes in any time. By the way, in general, whenever there's a non-Jewish person living in the home, it's always a good idea that she should always be aware that someone could come in at any time. It's, you know, in terms of, it solves a lot of the problems of concerns about what's going on. You know, people trust they hire these people and they trust them with their children. You know, I think we mentioned the other week, what's her name, the woman that works in the house? Oh, her name is, Maria. And her last name? Oh, I don't know. You don't know her last name, but everyone, you know, trust with the children. They got, so it's a really good idea to have some sort of oversight, some sort of ability to come in all the time. The really interesting shaila is, what about cameras? So now they have nanny cams and Dropbox, what do they call it? Dropcam, right? Dropcam? Oh no, I hear the commercials on the radio, where you could just check in on your smartphone, and you can see what's going on at any time. So maybe that would solve the yichud problem. But the point is to create a situation where, so how do you create a situation? You tell your friend, stop by at random intervals if you don't mind. Every time you go out, just stop by the house. But it should be for real, not just, okay, sure, wink, wink, and I'm never going to stop by. But, you know, that's something that it might actually happen, that a person might actually stop by. So this is also, Rav Moshe has an unusual, as much as his chumras were unusual in this situation, his kulas were exceedingly unusual in this situation. Rav Moshe has a kula that since even if you lock the door, he says, since if someone were to come and knock on the door, you can't ignore a door if someone's knocking on the door, so you're going to have to answer the door. So that's already kilu. You have the pesach pesach the Rosh Hashanah. I ignore the door all the time. I mean, if I know that it's someone who's is not, I'm not expecting any visitors, and it's not, people ignore the door. What do you mean? Especially if you're in a compromising position, you're, a person is gonna ignore the door. But Moshe assumes that can't happen. That a person would ever be you know, not have the derech eretz to at least answer the door. But people do it. People sometimes don't have the derech eretz to answer the door. So it's very difficult kula. So it's a question whether Pesach Pesuch means just unlocked. I think generally speaking, we try to be more machmir than that. That it shouldn't just be, unless you're in a situation like in a bungalow colony, where everyone's in and out of everybody else's house. This one's coming in, this one's coming out. Knock, knock, I'm coming in. You know, that's what they say as they open the door. So they're not actually knocking. You just walk right in. But in most of our communities, that doesn't happen like that. I just don't want to go over this on the floor, guys. It's time for you to...